Blessed are you, holy and living one. You.
And also you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heavens. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The word of the Lord. A reading from the book of Revelation. Grace to you and peace from whom, who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Omega, the Alpha, and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
When a new Roman emperor marched into Rome and took his throne, that was known as the Emperor's Adventus, the approach and arrival of the new emperor. So it is fitting in the midst of Advent that we stop and think for a minute about Christ our King, Christ our Emperor, and how that's different from the Emperor of Rome. In the Daniel reading that we heard this morning, a beautiful, beautiful reading, and early Christians very quickly took that reading and applied it to Christ, and it's understandable that they did so. The first thing to think about as you look at that reading is that the people to whom that prophecy was given were people in exile. They were lost in exile. They were wondering what was going on, what was happening with them. And so this prophecy comes as a comfort for these exiled people. And it starts by referring to God. Our English translation that we read today says "ancient one." The Hebrew says "ancient of days." I like "ancient of days" as a phrase because it means many, many, many days. Many, many, many days. And the idea is a reminder that God is older than the current troubles. Reminder to those in exile that God has been around a lot longer than the current troubles. And the idea there is that God is someone who is able to have perspective like none other on what is happening, because God is ancient of days. So that's a comfort. So God not only knows, but has a perspective that no one else can have on the current troubles, the current sense of being exiled. And then the next image in the prophecy that is very powerful and is so often missed by commentators is God's throne. I call it, in the language of today, God's steampunk throne. It moves around, it has wheels, it's spitting fire and smoke, and it's a very dynamic throne. And it moves. And this is a significant, significant image. In the ancient world, gods were in their city, the capital city of the land over which they ruled, and their throne was in the temple of the land over which they ruled, in the capital city. And to hear from the God or to make a petition to the God, you went to the throne. And earthly kings, and certainly later the Roman Empire, were the same way. A king sat on the throne and exercised a dominion of control. And you went up to the throne room to present your request to the king or the emperor. This image is completely different than that. God's throne has wheels and fire, and it moves around. The idea is that you may be isolated in exile from the temple, but it does not mean that you are isolated and in exile from God. Because God's throne travels around. And the God of your ancestors comes to you. That's a crucial, crucial image. And this God is surrounded. Now, at the 8 o'clock service, I said that, talking about Daniel, this God is surrounded by his minions, and everyone told me they imagined short, yellow creatures with goggles. So that word may have been tainted for us by the movies. But the idea is that God's servants and attendants are innumerable, and they surround God, and they're ready to go and do God's bidding. So not only does God travel around, but then God has innumerable attendants and servants as well that travel around. So that God's dominion goes everywhere, and the immediacy of God's concern can be expressed by God or God's attendants that are without number. And it can happen anywhere. And then one like a human being comes, and God specifically puts that one in charge of redeeming the exiles. Someone who can come to them in their form, in a way that they can understand. Come to them as a human being, to lead them as human beings out of exile. You can see why the early church immediately picked this up and used it to describe the work of Christ. Often, you know, Episcopalians were all very, very familiar with the practice of the deacon coming down the center aisle to read the gospel. Everybody knows that. But then I like to ask, what does that mean? What are we doing when we do that? And I often get blank looks. Sort of, we like a parade? But no, there's a meaning there. The meaning is that when the deacon comes to read the gospel out into the midst of the people, the deacon, who's the reminder of servant ministry, reminds us that Christ our King served us first by coming into our midst. It's the same image as God's steampunk throne with wheels. That God comes to us. So when Deacon Greg comes out in the middle of the aisle to proclaim the gospel, it's a reminder for us that this God, this king, is different from other kings. Other kings, you go to their throne and you present a petition and hope the king looks with favor on you. This king comes to us first to do favor for us. It's a crucial image. And that's what God does in Christ, comes to us as a human being in the human flesh. The Adventus that we are celebrating is not only Christ coming at the end of time, but also his coming in the manger in Bethlehem as one of us. It's an image that's picked up even on Palm Sunday. Not coming in triumphantly under an arch on a great steed of war, but entering Jerusalem on a colt, a foal, a donkey, on the people's palms and coats. Consistently, the image is one of a king who comes to us, not that we go to the king. And that's the point. That's the crucial, crucial point. In the gospel we heard today, Jesus is sent to Pilate. And Pilate says, interestingly, "So are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews?" And it's interesting because for the religious leaders of the people, the upset is about him for saying that he's the Son of God and the Messiah and things like that. Pilate doesn't care about that. Pilate asks what he knows. He asks the political question. Are you a king? Are you a rival king? What's up with this? Jesus says, well, that's what you know. I mean, there's not an answer for him to give to that because his concept of king is so different from Pilate's concept of king. So he says, if I were a king like you're thinking, I'd have people fighting for me and there'd be all this stuff happening that's not happening. Do you see that I'm not the kind of king you're thinking of? But Pilate doesn't get it and he goes, ah, so you are a king.
Way to miss the point, Pilate.
So Jesus has to go over it again. And notice what he says. He describes his kingship by saying, for this reason I have come into the world. It's that imagery again and again and again that we get throughout Scripture of God as King coming to us, not us going to God on high in the throne room to beg for a favor. God comes to us. Jesus comes to us. It's the image that runs through all of Scripture of this odd king who doesn't hang out on a throne on high, but who continually comes to us, who travels around the globe to be with us, who comes in the flesh to be with us. And that's what Jesus says to Pilate. For this reason, I have come into the world. My kingdom is a continual adventus, a continual arriving, a continual reaching out. And it's funny because Pilate doesn't understand, but some part of him either is just totally into being obnoxious, or some little part of him, I think it's probably both, some little part of him gets it. And he likes to be totally obnoxious. So, right, he presents Jesus and says, here is your king. And he puts a sign on the cross that says, the king of the Jews. There's a way in which he keeps calling Jesus a king, even though he doesn't understand the kind of king that Jesus is. He keeps calling him a king. The hang-up for him is a king who serves, a king who comes into the midst of his people. That basic image is foreign to him. It's important for us to remember this in our own Advent season. It's important for us to remember that what we're talking about is a king who comes to us. To remember that Christ is our king and he expresses his kingship by coming to you. By coming to you and coming to your life, coming to your reality, coming to share with you love and grace and blessing and forgiveness and liberation and redemption. Christ comes to you. Christ comes to each of us. And that's the King whose advent we proclaim.
As you are able, please stand and join with me as we proclaim our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of the waiting, give us courage to wait with those in the most broken places of the world.
We pray for those who are homeless, those who are persecuted for their faith, and those who are sick, particularly Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Carolyn, Caitlin, Pete, John, Carol, Todd, Ben, Arlene, BJ, Mary, Kobe, Richard, Peg, Jan, Linda, Danica, Sarah, Melissa, Betsy, Sarah, and all who are affected by natural disaster.
Empower us and all people who struggle to be bearers of hope.
Long may the Savior fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We pray with those who wait for wars to stop, for violence to cease.
We pray for all who work for justice and peace. We pray for the nations and all in authority, including Donald, our president, and the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We also pray for those who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen.
God of the waiting, transform our conflicts into your peaceful reign.
Amen. Savior,
pray for those who, in their grief, struggle to feel the coming hope, particularly those who grieve their jobs, their joy, or those whom they love.
We pray for those who have died. Dean, Rick, Raul, Dan, and Tomio.
God of the waiting, comfort us with your power and grace.
Long may the Savior fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We lift before you the Anglican Communion, the Episcopal Church, our diocese, St. Luke's, and faithful people everywhere.
We pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all people in their vocations and ministries. We also remember before you Mary, the God-bearer, Luke and John, our patrons, Sojourner Truth, Isaac, Kamehameha, Emma, Dorothy, and Andrew, whom we commemorate this week.
God of the waiting, by your unmeasured mercy, grant that we may serve you with undivided hearts, live together in unbroken community, and greet you with unending praise.
Long may the Savior fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We give you thanks for your many blessings, which fill our waiting with joy and give us a foretaste of our fulfillment.
We pray for those celebrating birthdays: Will, Jack, Lilla, Brian, and for those celebrating wedding anniversaries: Jennifer and Bill, Betsy and Eric, Kay and Jim, Becky and Ian. We give thanks for the baptismal anniversaries of Clifford, Charles, Karen, and Lynn Ann.
God of the waiting, help us find the wonder of expectation.
Long may the Savior fill our hearts with courage and peace.
God of generations, your promises come to birth in surprising ways. Fill our hearts with courage and hope, and fill our dreams with visions of new life, so that we live according to your word and love with the fullness of your grace. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. God of all mercy, we confess
that your sins against you.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in everlasting life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Glory and honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again he gave thanks to you, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Mary the God-bearer and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for being with
us. Questions, please feel free to reach out to myself or anyone else on the team. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the obstacles from before your path. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.